In a recent podcast episode, Casey and Callie Means sat with Tucker Carlson and discussed a national crisis. The interesting thing for us was just how much of a part we play in the solution.
After 25 years of dedication to serving our country in the United States Air Force, Rich retired and we moved to the Ozarks of Missouri and started a regenerative farm, and we grow real food, grass-fed beef, lamb, chicken, pork, on pasture, all non-GMO. We just have a heart for growing good food here. We weren't quite sure why, but it's becoming evident.
Yeah, this particular episode really got us. Mm. And we want to talk to you guys both about some of the high points of the episode and then about what it meant to us and sort of how it made us feel and how we see ourselves and you really in light of what we saw during this podcast.
For starters, we've got really big, big national problems in our healthcare and the state of our beings as citizens in this country. Our bodies are not well.
Yeah. Casey really makes a good point of all of the issues that are going on. Not all of them. She just talks about a lot of statistics, and they are like each one of the things that she brings up are alarming by themselves.
So Casey recently wrote a book called Good Energy, and Casey's background is, I'm talking stellar. And if we're going to get information from somewhere, let's get it from the people who are in there doing the fight on these things. So what are some of Casey's and Callie's credentials that we would even be discussing their book and what they bring to the fight?
Yeah, Casey was finishing her residency as an ear, nose, and throat surgeon at Stanford Medical School when she stepped aside and started looking at why are people being sick, not just here's how I do surgery on them to fix them. And Callie, after going to Harvard Business School, went back to Washington, D.C. and to get back into politics and ended up working for Coca-Cola and some big pharma companies. So he was in the big food and big pharma industries.
Right. So Casey and Callie are brother and sister, and both went in different directions, but both getting a side of what's going on in our health and food industry from different points of view, and then coming together, bringing that perspective, both of those perspectives into the same space has been really amazing what they're putting out there right now. Really whistleblowing on big pharma and the medical industry and the food industry all together at once. And we were just blown away by what they're putting out there.
Yeah, and we can't do that justice, and we're not even going to try.
But
the things that they discuss are really tying in our national health issues and saying that the food industries, the pharmaceutical industries, the government subsidies, all of these things are tied together to create the crisis that we're experiencing right now.
It's like Goliath right this minute with these three, or a perfect storm, whichever analogy you want to use. It has all come together in quite a way, and we are all, unfortunately, being affected by it. Us or someone in our family or our friends are being affected by this conglomerate of what's happening.
Yeah. So some of the numbers, I'll just go over some of them.
Yeah.
Some shocking statistics. 1 in 36 U.S. children now have autism. That used to be 1 in 1,500 not that many years ago.
Unless you're in California and it's 1 in 22.
Yeah.
That's a mind-boggling statistic to me. That was probably the biggest one of the information that they talked about. That one just like blew me away.
And the definitions have not changed. The way to test and diagnose it has not changed.
Nothing has changed except for
this is not
the
one
statistic.
Of those issues where, well, the rules changed, thus it's now more.
Right, right.
The rules are the same.
Got it. Okay.
74% of U.S. adults are overweight or obese. 75% of U.S. adults are either overweight or obese.
And that... It just continues to climb. I think every single time we talk about it, the number is higher than it was the last time. And we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
So it just can, it's on the rise.
50% of U.S. children are overweight or obese.
That is stunning because, first of all, children are typically quite active and they're the ones that don't have a problem. You know, you've got the metabolism, you'll be fine. When we were all growing up as Gen Xers back in the 80s, you knew one person that was maybe overweight in your whole entire class, graduating class, you know, and now it's half.
Half. Are in either overweight or obese.
In less than 40-year span.
Yeah. 50% of American adults have pre-diabetes or type 2 diabetes.
Well, that's a whole entire podcast and conversation.
Which we had.
Yeah.
Yep.
And probably we'll have another one.
30% of teens now have prediabetes.
40 years ago, only people over a certain age, 40, 50 or older, had type 2 diabetes. There was not a case, and Casey brought this up in the book and in the podcast, I believe, that a pediatrician would never have seen a child with type 2 diabetes in the 70s.
It was not a childhood disease.
It was not. Right. It wasn't. Type 1, yes, that's a different subject Correct. Altogether, but I wouldn't have seen it.
Yep. 77% of 17 to 24-year-olds are not qualified to serve in the military. 31% of that, of those, so 31% of that 77 is due to overweight or obesity. They don't make the weight standards.
Wow. So then the issues now become a national security problem.
That's correct. Yep.
Because if people aren't healthy enough to serve, we don't have our, it's an all-volunteer force.
Less than a quarter of those in the age group to serve are actually eligible without a waiver.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then went into fertility issues. Mm-hmm. Infertility is increasing by 1% per year. Sperm counts are decreasing by 1% per year since the 1970s.
That's crazy. The entire population is literally becoming infertile.
Yes, less and less fertile each year. That's correct.
I mean, if you continue on that.
Yeah. Does
it ever get to the point
sperm
where...
Sperm count has decreased by almost 50%.
That's literally half the opportunity to have...
Right.
To make more human beings.
Correct. And last one.
Man.
Young adult cancers are up
79%. That's probably the most heart-wrenching one, is the young adults in cancer. Because cancer was generally kind of older people, they'd live their lives and they'd just been exposed to more things and illness, whatever the case is, your body's old.
Yeah.
You know, and young people cancer, that's just, that should not be a thing.
So as Casey stepped away from surgery, put down her scalpel, as she called it, and went on this search for why are people getting sick at rates that we have never seen before.
Yeah.
The dementia, we've talked about a bunch of these things in podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think that's really why this interview and even Casey Cowley's book, touched home so much for us, is because a lot of these things are things that we've been talking about. Like there's stuff going on. Why? You know, what is it? And they really started diving into it.
Right.
And what Casey came up with in her book, Good Energy, and this is not like a some kind of new age energy
no,
thing,
no, no.
right? Her thesis is that it is all down to the mitochondria in our cells. And you may remember from a biology class that the mitochondria are the energy factory of the cell. Mm-hmm. And that the those mitochondria, that is the basis, the foundation of our metabolism. Mm-hmm. And the good energy or bad energy, she's saying, is driven all the way down to how our mitochondria inside our cells are functioning. Mm-hmm. What we are providing them, is it making good energy or is it making bad energy?
Yeah.
And she talks a lot about that, about good energy, bad energy,
yeah,
as it relates to the functioning of our energy source,
right,
at the cellular level.
And to the why, back to the why, you know, what, how did, a little bit of how did we get here? Well, for one, the lessons or the, to me, dietary misinformation that came to us over the past 30 years, we go back to Ansel Keys, with the seed oils, we go back to cholesterol hypothesis, we go to the food pyramid. There are a lot of things that happened right in there that really started turning the tables on the health of the nation.
Yeah. One of the things Callie really brings this one up is that, as the Surgeon General said, smoking is bad for you, back in the early 80s, when that really started taking off, then the major cigarette companies, the major tobacco companies, started buying food companies.
Well, another thing that it did was people stopped smoking.
Yeah.
They ceased, like it got less and less. When the Surgeon General spoke and they said, hey, stop, this is bad for you, people were like, oh, okay, this is bad for us. And so the cigarette companies were now making less money.
Yeah.
So they turned to another source.
Yeah. So in
this, okay, hold on. This is the, what we're about to tell you is well-documented, but probably a little known fact about some of the mergers and large corporation buyouts that have happened in this country over the past, well, this was in the 1980s. We didn't know about this, and the likelihood is that you don't either when things like this happen.
So in 1985, Philip Morris, which was one of the major tobacco companies, mm-hmm, in 1985, Philip Morris bought General Foods. And in 1988, they bought Kraft and became one of the largest food producers in the world.
A cigarette company became the largest food producer in the world.
And during the same time, R.J. Reynolds bought Nabisco.
Right. And it is, you know what, I'll just give you a second to think about that. Because we paused the interview and looked at one another, astounded by the fact that companies that are used to making people addicted to substances are now buying food companies and controlling a very large amount of the food, especially the processed food supply. They weren't growing lettuce and tomatoes.
No.
They were taking food companies that were already making processed foods, and they took it, and then they took their researchers and their scientists who were very good at making things addictive, more addictive than they already were. And they said, can we apply the principles and this business model that we've been using over the years to get people addicted to cigarettes? Can we take that business model and transfer it over here to food?
It appears that the answer was yes.
Uh-huh.
They did actually use their scientists to do this. And what they were able to do is go from processed foods, mm-hmm, to ultra-processed foods, and they made it taste better.
Right.
Around that same time was when high fructose corn syrup hit the scene also.
Uh-huh.
And they then started injecting high fructose corn syrup into almost all of the ultra processed foods. So it became where that business model worked.
Right.
That addictive behavior, mm-hmm. can we make that work in food? Well, with the introduction of high fructose corn syrup, the answer was yes.
So they make things hyper palatable. They make it now to where with the high fructose corn syrup, your body is responding in such a way that it almost becomes ravenous and it needs more of it because of the triggers. That's another podcast, but actually we talked about in a previous podcast what high fructose corn syrup does in our bodies with our hormones, such to the point that all you want is more. So they injected all of this food with that we were used to eating already. They altered it to the point where now it's really all we want.
Right.
And by the way, our bodies at the molecular level, at the mitochondria, they don't.
No.
They don't like it.
No.
It is not good energy for them.
Correct.
That is not good fuel for our mitochondria.
Right. So the high fructose corn syrup is basically, fructose is processed almost exclusively within the liver. So the liver has to do all of that, unlike glucose, the other kind of sugar that we normally are talking about all mm-hmm. the time.
Yeah.
Unlike glucose, where all of our cells mm-hmm. are processing glucose.
Right.
Maybe not all, but like
right.
glucose is being processed everywhere.
Right.
And fructose really right. is just in the liver. Mm-hmm. So you've got this excess of energy and only one organ can do the processing of it. Mm-hmm.
And that organ really takes a hit and it can wind up with things like non-alcoholic fatty liver.
Oh yeah.
Disease.
We didn't talk about that
no.
one, but that's yeah. another one that's like
right.
ridiculously
off like the charts.
Children
getting non-alcoholic fatty liver.
Toddlers with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
So the other day, to carry on with our story here, the other day, the thing that prompted us to watch the interview that we're now talking about and to purchase the book, sitting there on a Sunday, the phone rings. And it was a previous customer who had purchased a little bit of ground beef from us at a farmer's market nearby. And he called and he was looking for locally raised good food. And I said, well, we can help you. And got to talking with him. And he said, well, we just watched an interview and have read a book. And he told me about the book after we'd had a couple of conversations, actually. He told me about the book and the interview, which we had seen already on YouTube. We intended to watch it. And we stopped what we were doing and watched it right then. And then now have the book. And he said, I watched this and it was so profound to them that they stopped what they were doing and we have to find a better source for our food right now. And went through it with him. Yes, we will get you some good food. And it really just kind of was like, oh, he had a problem. We have the solution. And we know we had the solution, but it became very like palpable to us at the time of, wow, we're in the fight about what they're talking about. And did our hearts and our, like, I guess if you're called to do something, it just reaffirms the thing that you're doing whenever you hear and see, first of all, there's a massive problem in the nation. And then you see someone whom you don't know calls you and says, can you help? Yes. Yes, we can help.
Right.
And that was just, it kind of blew us away a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Making food in a way that is healthy.
Yeah.
And not in a way that is harmful, so that your body is able to have good energy at the subcellular level yeah. instead of bad energy. And from that, then health throughout the body is what happens instead of all of this sickness.
Right. Food to me is, I shouldn't have to convince you that the food is good. If I have to make a commercial about it, if I have to convince you that the substances that I have put together are good and good for you and try to sell you on it, you don't have to sell somebody on whether or not broccoli is good for you. We kind of all inherently know that, right? When a thing is what it always was, I used to tell my kids that all the time. Well, Mom, what should we eat? If it is what it always was, therefore, it hasn't been processed. It hasn't been done something else to, ultra processed especially. If it is still that thing, eat it. It came from energy, from the sun, to the ground, some water, and it turned into this thing that is edible. And it's probably good for you. At the very least, the likelihood is it isn't bad for you unless it's a poisonous substance. It's not bad for you. And I don't have to convince you. If I have to be convinced, probably there's something not quite right. Maybe. You know, if a company has had to put a whole bunch of other preservative ingredients in it, probably it's not quite right. If it's not already shelf stable, or it shouldn't be shelf stable. I'm sorry, I misspoke. If it shouldn't be, it should have a rot time, you know? Yeah. I mean, well, truly, the foods that you and I eat can go bad.
Right.
Real food goes bad.
Right.
You know? And if it doesn't, then I question it, you know? And so that's what these companies are in the business of putting together.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about my "it is what it always was" rant.
So Casey drives this to most of the chronic, if not all, of the chronic health issues that we're dealing with today. She, in her opinion, is rooted in mitochondrial malfunctioning, mm-hmm. bad energy.
Mm. Right. So let's talk about a few farming practices that are affecting the foods. We are a regenerative farm, sustainable, chemical free, as much as possible. Well, actually, we don't use any chemicals, none at all. GMO free food brought in, again, as clean as we can possibly make the food, and those chemicals spraying on the soils, the chemicals spraying onto the vegetables that we're eating, also not just the processed food, but the chemicals that they're using to grow the subsidized corn, wheat, and soy are also damaging our mitochondria, not just the processing and the high fructose corn syrup, but all of the pesticides and the herbicides that are put out there. And oftentimes a local farmer isn't using all of that.
Right. And ask. I mean,
yeah.
You can find out if your local farmer is.
Right.
And the organic certification, as we talked about in our last podcast, is not the end-all be-all to determine whether or not that's the case. Go visit the farm. Talk to the farmer.
Yeah.
And use that as a better indication of whether or not that's a product you want to buy.
There are thousands of farmers markets in this country.
I believe 9,000 something.
There you go.
Certified farmers markets.
A whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
There are more and more small farms like ours popping up all around the cities in this country. Find yourself a local small farm and try to source your food from them instead of from Big Ag. And especially out of the middle of the grocery store, which I used to call the jungle, and out of packaging and boxes.
Stay out of the middle of the grocery store.
Yeah.
Stay out of the jungle.
Right. Stay out of the jungle. Yep. Shop that outside edge. Well, it's true. The produce, the dairy, and the meats are always on the outside edge. The stuff that is probably not good for you is all in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah. Spoiler alert. Callie says, find a local farmer. Mm-hmm. Go to farmers markets, I'm sorry, that was Casey. Casey said that.
Yeah.
Like the the end of the story is exactly what we're doing.
Yeah. Yes.
Which was so touching to us. It was the, man, we actually are playing a part in helping our nation, one small little teeny tiny bit of it, but it playing a part in helping our nation become healthy instead of sick.
If you are on a diabetic medicine, a high blood pressure medicine, a what other chronic medicines ever all there are out there, and you have been told probably that you have to be on it for the rest of your life to manage your chronic condition, not medical advice, but
there is a potential that
that
may not be the case.
That it might not be the case.
One of the things that she brought up is that the average American is on 14 different prescriptions.
And sees 27 different specialists in a year.
In a year.
That sounds like an interesting situation for our nation to be in, for everyone to need to have all of that all of the time. That was a nice way to say it.
Yeah. Their assertion is that all of the industries that we've been discussing have come together to generate a way to make money.
And they're doing a really, really good job at it. They make a whole lot of money on us. They make a lot of money on everyone being sick. And they're making it more and more. And they're making it, heck, we're getting full-time customers into the medical system at like age 5 and 6. So now you
not full-time, lifetime.
I'm sorry, lifetime customers at the age of 6, because now we have 6-year-olds who are diabetic and pre-diabetic, and we're going to prescribe them a lifetime of whatever medication is required in order to, quote, manage that rather than changing their diet.
Correct.
And so now you have a whole big, long, huge customer. Mm-hmm. And I think that we as Americans have a choice. I think that we have choices. I think that we have huge choices and we've got major decisions to make. If we want to continue down the same path that we are currently on, and we want these numbers to continue to grow until our population is absolutely can't do anything, hopeless. If we continue down the path that we're on, that's where we're going. Or we have decisions and choices to make.
Yeah, and it includes to support that, like the healthcare that we have right now is better than it has ever been in history. Like the advances in modern medicine, as you always hear it called, are like the types of things that we're able to do now is like amazing. It's like you couldn't have even thought about it 100 years ago.
Right.
And yet, even with that,
the life expectancy is going down.
And all of these things that we just talked about, all of these numbers, it's not like these are the numbers right now, but they're on their way down.
Right. This is not fixing it.
No,
the medical system
these are the numbers right now. And all of the numbers that I discussed are rising. They're on their way up. Like something is wrong.
Yeah. I am big and believe in modern medicine. I really do at the acute level.
Yeah.
I believe that if you are hurt.
Were you calling me cute?
You're cute.
I thought that's what you said.
Yeah. You're cute. So, you're killing me, man. If you are injured, if you have something deadly wrong with you right now, and it is acute, not chronic, go see your doctor. Trust them to fix you. Go to the emergency room. Get it fixed. Get help. They're the ones that know how to do it. You know, if you got an appendix rupturing, I don't want to do that surgery. You know?
But it needs to be done.
And so there is a time and a place for modern medicine to kick in and save lives, and they do every single day. But management of chronic, age-appropriate, air quotes, lifestyle illnesses and diseases?
That's what Casey and Callie are saying. There might be different alternatives.
Right. Exactly.
There are issues. The issues are getting worse. And continuing to do the same thing is not going to make it better.
No.
There are potential other solutions. The call to action.
Your call to action.
Go watch this interview that Tucker did with Casey and Callie Means. Go to Tucker's YouTube channel, Tucker Carlson, and watch this interview.
Rich will leave a link to it in our description because it is that important.
Set aside two hours. It's not quite two, but you're probably going to pause it and think for a minute or two. Set aside 2 hours and watch this interview.
Absolutely. That is 100% an assignment that I would give every person that I talk to in the next little bit. Please go watch this interview. I think that we can change the world.
Yeah. Immediately, she sent it to all four of our daughters.
Yes, I did.
And at least one of them has watched it and reported back that she had to pause it to stop and cry.
Yeah, because it is so devastating, the situation at the national level and our health.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's that. And we have food to grow.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because we have a farm and it needs attention.
That's right.
So We thank you guys so much for your support.
Yeah.
Hey, leave a comment once you watch the video. Come back to us and let us know what you thought about what Casey and Callie are both whistleblowing about. Give it to us, whether you disagree or completely agree with what's going on. And if you have any ideas or solutions about how we in our small community can start making some of those changes.
Cool.
And until next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.